Good morning. I too want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning, and want to see visitors back there. We're happy to have you with us this morning. Want to welcome you to our service. I really enjoyed our Sunday school class this morning. We had a very healthy discussion, and it was uplifting. I really appreciate coming to church, and we can discuss the word like that, and I feel like I have been fed already, and so we could just go home from here. But I do have a message to share this morning, and my message is encouragement for our church here, and maybe it's more toward along the lines of how can we better support other believers in other churches. And so my message is more of an instructional message, more than an inspirational message. I shared in Newport last Sunday some of the same things that I'm sharing today, but a lot of the scriptures are based on the same thoughts. But much of what was on my heart, I had trouble putting into a subject, so I ended up having it more instructional. I've changed the content a little bit, or quite a bit actually, because even though our churches have the same struggles, I feel that in different churches they are revealed in different ways. So my last Sunday's message, if I would just repeated it, it wouldn't have been exactly relevant here. And to get our minds to think about this a little bit more, I would like us to think about how each of us has a desire within us to be used, or to be useful, or to be needed, and yet we can look around and say, there's nothing for me to do. And I'm not saying that in accusing ways. I'm just saying that that is a natural tendency that we as Christians sometimes do. And I would just like to share a little story that I read about, this was a Quaker pastor that was writing this, and it just brings out his dialogue and his little story that he wrote, brings out the point of how each person, each Christian, we have a desire to be used, to be needed, to be useful in the kingdom of God. It went along this way, that he was ordained as a Quaker pastor, and I don't understand how Quakers are very much, but it seemed like listening in reading his dialogue that there isn't much work for a pastor to do in a Quaker church. I guess people somehow bear up and take care of their things in a very maybe a silent way, or the pastor doesn't really get a chance to be used much in the church. Maybe he'll share a word, but he was saying that he just feels so unneeded as a pastor in their church. And the pastor seems like, from the way he spoke, that the pastor is mainly a figurehead in their church. And so then he was going on, and he lived in a community that was northeast, and it was a very small community. And he was going on looking around him then at all the other ways that people were reaching out, because they had that desire in them to be used, to do something for society or their community that would bring them fulfillment. And I see that even in our community. You know, I see a lot of times people join up for the fire department because they want to be used. They want to do something. And so we have within us that desire to be used and to be needed. He brought out the point that they were in such a small community that the emergency people very seldom, or the fire people very seldom went on a fire. And it was just unheard of that if they'd go on a fire once a year, that was something. They counted it something that they got to do. And he himself would go to the hospitals and visit the people in the hospital so that he would have something that he would feel useful as a pastor doing. And he mentioned that the one neighbor went and started his field on fire so the fire department would have something to do, and that the other person could write a report up about putting this fire out. And so, you know, these were people that were lonely, and they needed to do something. And I just bring that out just to help remind us that really isn't along my message very much, but it helps us to see that we each have that. Each of us have that in our lives. So now going on with with the message that I want to share, you know, as I look at our church, I sometimes struggle, or not just at our church, but as other churches too, I struggle being enthused about the church like I should, because I think it's because I don't really have the correct perspective of what the church is. And my perspective of the church is sometimes it's focused too much on the organization and the culture of our church that I'm a member of, and it causes me to be discouraged at times about my faith, because I don't really think of the church as the church of Jesus Christ properly. And it's I let the organization of, which we have to have organization in a church, and I let all the mechanical things overpower the spiritual aliveness that I have. And I'd like to read a little bit in Acts. I'm just going to read a couple verses so you don't need to turn with me. And this is where the church was just new. The church was just beginning. And it was new. It was alive. I think it was exciting, even though they had to deal with some hard things. But it inspired me that, you know, that's what we all want in our church, is we want to feel alive and new and closeness together. I'll read these verses. In Acts 2, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them out to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I see from this scripture a group of excited people. They're excited about their church. These people were so happy for what Jesus had done for them, and they were excited about the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And when I hear, this reminded me that I've heard many times, and even myself, I feel this way sometimes, where I like to just be part of a small group. And I wonder if when we're saying that, and when I say that, when I think that, I wonder if I'm really not saying something different. I think that we are really saying, or maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I think I'm saying sometimes when I feel that way is that I want to be part of a group of Christians who are come together for church, who are happy and content with each other. And we want to be part of a church that's alive, that's, you know, things are refreshing and we are growing. And we have a desire to be part of a church where organization and committees aren't overpowering the spiritual life of the church. And, you know, I would say in our church right here that many times I look out at all the organization that needs to go on, and it does. I'm not belittling it, because we need it. We wouldn't make it if we just let everything go. And then we have committees for this, this, and this. And I think, oh my goodness, how can you have so many committees? But, you know, the work of the church still needs to go forward, and things need to get done in a decent and orderly way. So, but what happens in a bigger church, those can overcome our life in our spiritual togetherness. And we feel that. We don't feel it can happen easily. So I don't really think that our problem is size. Size can have its effect, but I don't think that's the whole issue that we're really dealing with. I think it's more our perspective of church. And I don't want to say this to accuse us either, but more bring it to our attention and have us consider what I say. I feel that the problem might come from something different, like maybe there's too many of us, and I'm not saying this to accuse necessarily just us, even though I feel that there are of us that would struggle with this, where we come to church too much with our hands out, wondering what the church can do for us in our hearts. And while we should be coming to church or be part of a church because we want to understand how we can be useful to the church, what we can do for the church, how we can build up the kingdom of God in the church. And I feel that might be, in many churches in North America, Christian churches, I feel that might be the problem that might be going on in some churches, because we're just care only about my salvation and my needs, and we're not really looking at out among us. And when we think like this, we're really saying that I'm what matters. It's just me that really matters. And I know that we don't say that, and we don't really feel that way. But I think that's a message we could be shoving on to people that we actually could be helping out in our support better. In Matthew 10, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." And in Luke, he says, Luke 4:43, he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am also sent." And then in John 10, in this verse, really brings this message out clearly. In verse 16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So I see Jesus wanting to take care of his sheep, but we are not the only people. He wants to bring other people into the fold besides just our group. And church is not just about our church and our needs. And I believe that is why sometimes we as a church can feel dead. We can feel like we're overburdened with too many things. We can feel not needed. We can feel like we don't have anything that we can do, need to do. And we're not enthused about our church. Maybe we are focused too much on our own needs, and we lose the satisfaction that we get from helping other people and looking out for other people's needs. And I feel this is more the problem that all churches struggle with, regardless of the size of the church, whether small or a bigger church. So another reason that I don't think that size of church is the real problem, you know, that there are many churches struggling, and because the people who make up the church are not focused on the kingdom of God enough. But I believe that we are struggling a lot more because, especially in North America, because the church that we are a part of, you know, as long as everything seems to be on the right direction and going along, that's all we care about, and we switch our priority about caring about making our church work and looking out from us to help other people. We care more about just so we have a church to go to, and then focusing a little too much on our material side of our life. And I feel that is an illness that our churches are facing. You know, we might feel content because we know the direction of our church is mainly good, but I'm not sure that it's healthy for us. It would seem that we are becoming lazy in serving the kingdom of God. And again, I'm not wanting just to point my finger out here and say that we're so bad this way. I'm wanting to encourage us because I think that not only, I think we struggle with it, but I don't think that we struggle with it just us. I believe all churches are being faced with this issue. And I'm not sure that I'm saying it positively right. This is just what is in my heart to share with you. You know, this may seem strange to you, possibly, but our church in Newport, they feel alone, and they struggle with feeling a lack of support from our church here. And I have also heard this from the church in Chile, that they feel the same way. And I know that we have done so much for both churches, and it's hard for us to understand how they could feel that way. I've also heard it from other churches that we have helped and we fellowship with in other areas, over in Fairfield or those. You know, those churches look up to our church a little bit because of our size. And I don't know that they should be looking up to us. I'm not sure that we deserve it. And I'm just saying that we have a hard time understanding why they would need us or why they would care about our support as a larger church, especially the church in Newport and the church in Chile. Why could they feel this way? You know, I can understand that why we would question that. But I guess I think that the reason that we all churches are struggling with this, it's not the size of the church. And it seems to me the smaller of the church, they feel more alone, more unsupported by bigger churches. And the other point that I want to say about this is that in a small church, the members feel overused, and they feel burned out because they don't get a break from teaching Sunday school every Sunday. And so I'm not sticking up for anyone feeling this way, but only saying we still all have our struggles, regardless what size our church is, and we need to be in the business or have our purpose and our goals, regardless of what church we're in, what size of church we're in, that to support other believers in other places and not just be looking at our own church right here, that we got our act together, we have our stuff, that's all we need to take care of. So I'd also like to just mention now too, as I'm in this subject, that you know in Newport we do struggle, with those feelings that I just said, and I'm just asking for your prayers that we would not get weary in well doing, and that we do cover your prayers and your support. And I know that the people in Chile feel the same way. I have been told that. One thing that can happen in a bigger church is that we become content and that we even feel superior over smaller churches. And I don't know that we feel that way. I don't know each heart. Maybe we do. I'm not sure. I don't think it's right if we do feel that way. And I love God's people wherever they are located, and I know that you do too. And I especially have been convicted recently of how I don't really like to hear people say in a condescending way about other churches, if other churches are doing wrong. I don't agree that we should support wrong, but I don't think that it's right for us to have an attitude like that. And I have been willing to do this in my life, I think, because But I think I need to change too, because I hear other churches struggling, and they have a want for support and encouragement from other believers in other churches. So I recently have been thinking differently about this, and I see other churches that they make decisions and they administrate differently And I may not even approve of the way they do those things. But to feel my way is best and saying that they are wrong, I don't think is a good way for us to build up the kingdom of God or the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's, you know, another thing, it's a natural thing for us to put our allegiance in the local group, our church. This is the way we do it. We do it the best. And you know, we should feel loyalty towards our church, but not superior. And that sometimes is hard to balance out, I think. I don't know if we exactly feel this way about other churches, but I think it is a way, I think it is a tendency that can happen from a bigger congregation. And I do fear that among our church that we sometimes have chosen sides when it comes to especially the church in Newport and the church in Chile. And I don't think that's correct. I don't think that God is looking at us as a bigger church to be picking out those two churches specifically and saying that we support one more than the other or in our relationship with them. You know, we are tempted to think that both churches should be treated exactly the same with no regard to different dynamic of each church. And I just want to bring that out in the open, that I know that some of the feelings of that people have about the relationship between the church in Chile and the church in Newport. And I don't think that motive is what God would like us to see. You know, God loves all his people, regardless of the size or where they're located. And I do think that he loves each church differently because of or based upon the church's willingness to be faithful to him or not faithful. But I don't think that he has partiality. He loves them the same, and he wants every church to become more spiritual and love him and obey him more. And in I have some verses that, in 1 Peter, Peter said that he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And I think that that's how Jesus is. That's how God is. So now I want to leave us with a couple things that, a couple points that will help our church to be more spiritual and also help us to be more, that just by our lives, that it will be more supportive to other believers in other places by people watching us or hearing about us. And again, when I mention these things, I am not just picking on our church today here because I think our problem is greater. I think that we have the same struggle as other churches do. And so I just want to warn us and help us to see that we don't want to go down this thing. I believe that all churches need to have these attitudes that I'm speaking of. And I also know that all churches struggle with political issues that sidetracked us from being what we really should be. So I'd like to quickly look at these four points that I believe are key for us to have. And I think there's many more, and you might be able to rearrange them or have one that you might think is more important. But these are what's on my heart. The number one point, I believe, is love for Jesus and the brotherhood. And the number two point is having humility. The number three point is having hospitality. And the number four point is confidence in Jesus. And I'll explain that point more. But the first point, the most important thing for us to have above all is, and it's something that we've all heard about, is love for Jesus and the brotherhood. I believe this is the hardest for us to do, but we have to have this for us to be what God wants us to be. We need to have the love of God and carry that love onto each other, and also reach out to other people in our community and let Christ flow through our lives towards God's people wherever they are located. And I believe all churches struggle with having Christian love. It doesn't matter what size the church is, or if the church is strong in letting the love of Jesus flow through their lives, that church becomes a light to those around. And we must have that love in our church. And we must show that love. We must. Jesus said, I give freely, and we must freely give. We must do that. And he said, in John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So the second point that I have is humility. And in James 4, verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In James 4, 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. He shall lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, and all be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. In 1 Peter 5, 6, it says again, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, I feel that we are humble here, for the most part. I can't really say, how each individual is humble, or that's not for me to say. But I'm looking more at collectively. I believe that I see humility here. But I guess I just don't want us to ever lose that humility. We cannot afford to lose humility. And we can always afford to be more humble, to take extra actions to be more humble. And I believe that in our individual life. But I also believe as a collective group, we need to have a humble attitude. As people listen to us speak about our church and the things that we do, that humility is presented out, that we're not a proud people. We're not a people that are arrogant and unkind. again, I'll say that there are many churches that we do not see eye to eye with. But even in that knowledge, I believe we need to keep ourselves humble and not be critical of other churches. We need to have an attitude that we can still learn from them, from other Christians. That there are many Christian churches that are not obeying the entire Bible. I don't think it's good for us to say they're goofed up. Even though they're not doing what the Bible says completely, I think it's still better for us to stay humble and we can acknowledge that we are going a little different direction, but have an attitude that if there is something to learn from them, that we can learn from them. And it goes the other direction, also from other Mennonite churches that are way more conservative than us. You know, it's easy for us to shut them off, just to say, you know, they don't really have anything for us that they can offer us. And they maybe they don't, but I still think it's good for us to have an open mind, a humble mind, to be able to learn from them. Because you think about it, all churches, regardless of what denomination or what level of conservative or liberal that they stand, they're not in it. I mean, maybe there is some that are in it for this, but most people that are in a church want to go to heaven. They're wanting to be Christians, and they're wanting to do the best they can. So no one is out there trying to be, I shouldn't say no one. There may be churches like that, but overall, churches are not in churches to be malicious, I guess is the word I'm trying to look for. Even though some churches are not on target like they should be, we don't want to get ourselves in a position where we feel we're the only ones that are on target. We need to have an open mind that we can learn to be more spiritual and learn to grow closer to Jesus in our application of what we do, and especially of what we say. And I believe that is humility. You know, maybe a little more like Paul said in Philippians, he said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehending in Christ Jesus. It's not like I'm already there. We're all growing and we all want to go. And I'm not advocating that every church in the world is going to come together and agree on issues. I believe that there's a reason there's so many churches, because people do not agree on way things are, or they go different directions. And God needs every church to come closer to Him in obeying the Bible and in going the direction that He has prescribed in the Bible, but that we do not we don't have to change our doctrine and our standard. That's not the point I'm wanting to make. I just want us to realize that we as a church can never be the exact church and the perfect church. We always want to be growing and have a humble attitude to learn. The third point is hospitality. I believe one sign that a church is spiritual and it can do a lot of, it can show a lot of support to many believers in other churches is through hospitality. And I would say the key things for us to remember as it relates to showing hospitality towards visiting people is to make sure we welcome people with a smile of kindness and be very interested in their lives ahead of our own. And, you know, I like to especially look at the youth and your younger. I know some of my children struggle with this, and I struggle with it. And that is when new people come to church, it's hard to go out of our way and welcome them. And especially younger people, I think that you struggle with that more. And I think that you you can make a big difference in young people that come to church by reaching out to them. Just put yourself in their shoes. When you go to a strange church, and how you get treated in that strange church makes a big impression on you. And I'm speaking to everybody. You know, that really means a lot to me when I go to a church and the people aren't really friendly or care. You know, that's hard to accept. And that is a real key thing for churches, to be friendly and hospitable when other people come to visit. And it supports, it gives a huge support in Christian faith to other people, to other churches. My fourth point is that we need to have confidence in Jesus Christ. And this might seem like a little bit off, but to you, or a little off the subject. But I'm saying this point in regards to any church that is bigger, because bigger churches seem to be doing something right that causes them to grow. So a bigger church can sometimes start thinking higher of themselves than they should. Excuse me. And because of that, we need to remember often that it isn't what we have done, but it's by God's grace that He allowed our church to grow. Our faithfulness to be doctrinally accurate, that's very good, and that's important. And I really appreciate being part of a church where people care about the accuracy of doctrine. But we always need to remember that it's the blood of Jesus, it's the shed blood of Jesus that saves us. It's not our accuracy in doctrine that directly saves us. Our direct saving salvation comes from the shed blood of Jesus. And, you know, the structure we set up in a big church, that's good. We need it, just as our guideline. And it helps us to remember we're brotherhood. And I'm not trying to diminish that or lower those things. And I'm not trying to say they're bad. I'm only reminding us that we have to have our confidence in the shed blood of Jesus. That is what's going to save us. When we grow up being really good Anabaptist people and we have followed the doctrines of the Bible fully all our life, but we didn't put our faith 100% in the blood of Jesus and we put it more over to there, when we get to judgment, we won't be saved. It won't do us any good. I know that's dramatic from two different extremes, but I think it's easy for bigger churches to get the organizational things and the structural part of our life and our guidelines to overwhelm us, and without thinking we can easily get led that way. And I don't want us to do that. We have to remember that the shed blood of Jesus is what really saves us. And so that's why I want to bring that in to there. I don't want you to think that I'm trying to downplay our guidelines and our doctrine that we believe in. That's not my point. Point is, I just want us to keep with the priority right. So in bringing this to a close, I'd just like us to look at the big picture a little bit yet. The things that I've mentioned this morning, you know, these are not so much about making our church acceptable to other churches. And I think it would be easy to think that. The big point here, the big picture is here, or let me back up. You know, many churches want to make their church marketable. They want to do things right and be popular so that other people will come to their church. And I do not want you to, that is not the point. If we believe that is our motivation for doing that, we have missed the point. We want our church to be spiritual and alive. We also want our church to be a shining light to our community. We want our church to be encouragement to other believers. And so many churches are trying to be popular so more people will come to their church. And the Church of Jesus Christ becomes a political organization instead of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe we want to be the kind of church because we want to bring other people to heaven. Just as Jesus said, he wants to bring other people into the sheepfold. That's why we want. This is for the big picture. We want to encourage other churches and other believers to keep on being faithful and not to give up and not to lose out, not to slide off, not to drift. That's what we want to do. And a church like ours can be very influential in that, in our support, in our prayers, and in whatever way we can. But if our heart is into supporting other churches right here, and we pray that way, that will actually go out. And, you know, you don't even have to go to those churches so much. I think that's good if we can go visit them and help them. But I think if our attitude in our heart is along that line, that really shows out just like that. I know that our church has many ministries and that we are involved in. And God has blessed us with these opportunities because these ministries have helped our church be a more spiritual church. But I think we can do better at supporting our outreach churches and also those churches that we are connected with in other areas. I think that we can do so much for the kingdom of God by praying and going there to encourage them with just simply being there and being interested in their lives. What's going on in their church? What's going on in their community? And, you know, we should have the attitude that Paul had when we reach out and never have this arrogant feeling that we are the church and that what we have is exactly right. I think we should feel that we are in the right direction and try to promote the right direction and go that way, but we shouldn't believe that we have apprehended. You know, I believe the end of the world is near. And when we come to the great throne of God, we want Jesus to tell God that the people in Bonner's Ferry loved me and they obeyed my words. They spread your love and they were a good example of your kingdom. And that's what we want for our church here in Bonner's Ferry. We want to be ready to go to heaven and we want to help other people to be ready to go to heaven. That's the big picture. And I think that maybe I have been a little bit more hard on us because we're a bigger church, but I believe that we can do so much to support other churches and even our outreach churches. And I have a little story I just want to leave with you about how much a kind word or support means to people and what it can do to not only a church but to other people. This story is called The Writer. 19th century life had dealt the 10-year-old London lad a bad hand. While his father languished his debtors, jail, painful pangs of hunger gnawed at his stomach. To feed himself, the boy took a job pasting labels on blacking bottles in a grim, rat-infested warehouse. He slept in a dismal attic room with two other street urchins. While secretly dreaming of becoming a writer, with only 4 years of schooling, he had little confidence in his ability. To avoid the jeering laughter he expected, he sneaked out in the dead of night to mail his first manuscript. Story after story was refused, until finally one was accepted. He wasn't paid for it, but still one editor had praised his work. The recognition he received through the printing of that one story changed his life. If it hadn't been for the encouragement of that one editor, he might have spent his entire working life in a rat-infested factory. You may have heard of this boy, whose book brought about so many reforms in the treatment of children and the poor. His name was Charles Dixon, author of Christmas Carol. And so you see, you know that. I'm just sharing that to strengthen the point of what our support and encouragement means to individuals and other groups of believers in other places. And I just want to encourage us to focus on the big picture and remember that there's so much we can do. And maybe we feel we have done enough, but I don't think we should feel that way. I think that we need to remember that our prayers and our effort of encouragement mean much, and that we can keep it up and keep doing that. I'll close with that.